and to lead us into our message.
When I was a boy each week, on Sunday we would go to church, pay attention to the priest, and he would read the holy word, and consecrate the holy bread, and everyone would kneel and bow. Today the only difference is, everything is holy now. Everything, everything, everything is holy now. And when I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two, Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad, miracles don't happen still. Now I can't keep track, 'cause everything's a miracle. Everything, everything, everything's a miracle. Wine from water is not so small, but an even better magic trick is that anything is here at all. So challenging thing becomes not to look for miracles, to finding where there isn't one. When holy water was rare at best, barely wet my fingertips, but now I have to hold my breath like I'm swimming in a sea of it. To be a world half there, heaven's second rate hand me down, but I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now. Morning outside I stood, saw a little red-winged bird shining like a burning bush, singing like a scripture verse. Made me want to bow my head. I remember when church let out, how things have changed since then. Everything is holy now. Used to be a world half there, heaven's second rate hand me down, but I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now.
Little something to add some spice before we get into the message.
Baskin-Robbins 31 original flavors.
Flavors 200.
Mais oui, this flavor has a nationality in its name. Dave.
What is French vanilla?
That's it.
Flavors 4.
Today there's Jamocha. Back in the day, it was just plain this beverage. Christine?
What is coffee?
Right.
Baskin-Robbins 600.
A Burgundy variety, not of grape, but of this red fruit ice cream. Christine?
What is cherry?
Cherry, yes.
Baskin-Robbins 800.
There were lemon, orange, and raspberry types of this frozen fruit juice and cream treat. Rodolfo?
What is sherbet?
Yep.
31 for 1,000.
Alphabetically, it came between chocolate almond and chocolate fudge. Rodolfo?
What is chocolate hazelnut?
No. What is chocolate chip? Chocolate chip, guys. Rodolfo, back to you.
Well, I don't have an opening joke today. I know you're terribly upset and disappointed. But I do have a little game for you. And it's very simple. I'm going to share a list of things with you. And you have to figure out what they all have in common. Pretty simple, right? Ready? Here we go. Ricotta, cannoli, cold sweat, tiger tail, pet bird, cantaloupe prosciutto, horse flesh, pickled mango, bourbon and cornflake, fig and fresh brown turkey, booger, cicada, and chunky Elvis. Well, if you're thinking that these are all names of rock groups, that would be a pretty good guess, but you'd be wrong. So if you still don't have it, let me give you a hint. What if I were to add to the list chocolate, strawberry, and vanilla? Yeah, that's right. They are all flavors of ice cream. All very fitting, since our talk today, our talk title is 31 flavors. And what we are going to look at are variety and diversity, but even more so at the idea of radical inclusivity. What exactly is radical inclusivity? Hopefully, we're going to find out. 3 years ago, I attended my grandson's high school graduation, and the keynote speaker was a faculty member. Keynote speakers are supposed to be inspirational, and I must say he certainly was that. And one of the things he did in his talk was to attempt to paint a picture for the graduates as to what the world they were graduating into looked like. And to paint this picture, he told this graduating class, "You now live in a nation in which half the population hates the other half." And when I heard those words, I just thought, wow, that's a pretty strong thing to say. And I have to tell you, those words blew me away. That's a whole lot to lay on a bunch of 17 and 18-year-olds. And then finally, I went to the place of asking myself the question, is it true? Can it be? I came away concluding it was more true than it was false. Because we live in a time in which perhaps there's more polarization in our country since the time of the Civil War. And while we may not be in an actual civil war fought on battlefields, we absolutely are very much involved in an uncivil war on the battlefields of politics and religion, race, sexual orientation, women's rights, immigration, and many, many more. And it's not just that there's disagreement on these matters. It's that the lines have been drawn in the sand so deep, and so many people on both sides gaze at folks on the other side with resentment, if not hatred. Friendships that have been built over the decades have come to be severed. Families, brothers and sisters, are at odds with one another. It's as if they've forgotten the love that they shared growing up. And one of the toughest things that we have to do is look at all of this. One of the really unbelievable challenges we have to deal with is to look at all of the hatred. We have to look at hundreds of people being shot and killed in Chicago, many of them little children, some of them babies. And the challenge is we are called upon to sit back, take a look at it objectively, and usher the affirmation, it's all good. And if you're caught surprised by what I said, let me repeat it. It's all good. That phrase shouldn't surprise you. We use it in Unity all of the time. Mostly we use it when we really don't understand something. Something perhaps like children getting shot and dying. But if you really want to tap into the full power of the phrase, it's all good, take it beyond being just a prayer of acceptance. Make it an affirmation in which you acknowledge that it is a call to action. Notwithstanding all of the craziness in the world today, we have made progress. I mean, African Americans and other minorities now regularly appear on primetime TV programs. And the same holds true for gay and lesbian actors. All of these types of things have come to be acceptable, even commonplace to some extent. And we now have a vice president of the United States that's a woman and a person of color. But if we return to that affirmation that it's all good, and we do so with an understanding that it is a call to be or do something and not a form of complacency and acceptance, then where we are right now is not enough. The message today is not about radical acceptance. It is about radical inclusivity, and there really is a big difference between the two. When I was 17 years old and driving the family car, which, by the way, was a 9-year-old Rambler station wagon that my friends sarcastically called supercar. One day I wanted to go to the beach on Lake Michigan, and my mother said, fine, you could take the car, you could go. You have to take your little sister with you. Now, let me tell you something. I would rather have gone to the beach with an abscessed tooth than take my 10-year-old sister with me. But my mother would not back off. She said, either you take her with or you don't go. And I wanted to go, so I caved into my mother's terms, but I made it clear I didn't like it. I may have accepted the situation, but I wasn't exactly inclusive toward my kid sister. There are not a whole lot of people walking around these days that would be self-proclaimed racists, sexists, chauvinists, or homophobes. These are terms that have become taboo to a great extent. Nobody wants to be called these things. And I suppose that this implies a greater sense of acceptability in our world, and maybe even real honest-to-goodness inclusivity. But radical? Now, that's another story. So what exactly do I mean when I talk about radical inclusivity? I mean, most private golf clubs now have opened the doors to women, something that has been exclusive to men for 150 years. That sounds pretty radical to me. I mean, what do you want, blood? But there's a world of difference between celebrating and becoming complacent with where we are and continuing to do the work that needs to be done. There's a world of difference between saying the right things and going through the motions and embracing that concept of it's all good with the understanding I have work to do. Sign me up. So do I want blood? No, not blood. Blood is too easy. I'm suggesting something much more outrageous. I'm suggesting you give serious thought to what you can do beyond just saying it's all good with a shrug of your shoulders. You all have talents. You all have gifts. Use them. You all are different flavors. It's time for you to give the world a taste. We are all creatures of our childhood experiences. We all are infused with ideas, notions, beliefs, and prejudices that reflect the cultures in which we were raised and our life experiences. And you know what? Today, I am not even suggesting that you sacrifice any of them or trade them in. What I am suggesting today is that you reach out and build bridges to people who may hold opposing views and beliefs, and to people who may be different, not just in the color of the skin, but in any way. Today, I'm asking you to follow the lead of our way shower, Jesus, who came along and said, you know what? It's not just the Jews who are chosen. We all are chosen. And maybe just for starters, it might be nothing more than sincere, honest, and open listening. And getting into the radical part of it, you build these bridges by loving them. Being radically inclusive doesn't mean tolerating someone else. It doesn't mean ignoring someone else. It doesn't mean peaceful coexistence. It doesn't mean having a live and let live attitude. Being radically inclusive means celebrating the differences, the diversity, the flavors of everybody. You know, for a long time, I thought that being open to people that were not white meant seeing them without seeing their color. But I had it wrong. Radical inclusivity means seeing those differences, seeing somebody who is a different color, seeing somebody that maybe doesn't think exactly the way I do, and celebrating all of it. It doesn't mean buying into their beliefs, nor does it mean sacrificing your own culture. Think about our wayshower Jesus again. He didn't just tolerate the tax collectors, the sinners, the sick, the poor, his betrayers. He didn't just accept them. He loved them. The Samaritans were absolutely hated by the Jews. The Jews treated them with such disdain, thinking that they were superior. They look down upon the Samaritans and wanted absolutely nothing to do with them. But Jesus blessed the Samaritan woman that he met at the well. And he gave us the parable of the Good Samaritan. And in doing so, he built bridges and suggested others develop an awareness to do the same. Is that radical enough? Sorry. No, not quite yet. Our talk title today is 31 Flavors. But the message today goes way beyond telling you to accept and even love people who are different. Because you know what, quite frankly, my friends, you're way beyond this. You already know this. And you don't need me or anybody else, for that matter, to remind you about it. It's human relations 101. It's unity 101. You already get it, at least on an intellectual level. Love one another or love your neighbor as you do yourself. So let's get more radically inclusive. I want to talk about that part in that commandment of Jesus, that last part that says, as you do yourself. Again, our talk title today is 31 Flavors, but it isn't limited to accepting people of different color, sex, sexual preference, religion, political parties, different ethnicities, or whatever. The real message today in talking about 31 Flavors is to understand that it's a euphemism. That what we are really talking about is you and me. Not only do we show up as chocolate, strawberry, or vanilla, but deep within us, we are many flavors. We are butter pecan, chocolate mousse, Neapolitan, chocolate dream, chunky Elvis, French vanilla, and yes, unfortunately at times, rocky road. And guess what? As much as we might really like ice cream, there are flavors we really don't like and we stay away from. I mean, ice cream called horseflesh or cicada. Who would ever want to go there? And if we think such flavors are part of who we are, well, we go to a place of hiding them, covering them up in some way. And just as we are taught as an early age to fear, stay away from, avoid things and people that are different, we also learn that we are to dislike things about ourselves. Whatever your negative thoughts and prejudices may be toward others who look different and think differently than we are, then maybe, those are nothing in comparison to how we discriminate against ourselves. We all have parts of ourselves that we dislike, parts we try to hide, parts that we do not want to accept. And if we were to put together a list that started out, I love everything about myself except, all of us would have things to write down on that list. You know, I don't know if any of you have ever noticed, but I don't have a whole lot of hair. It's something that always bothered me, something I really didn't like about myself. And then one day several years ago, I went to a comedy club, and the lady comic who was there shared as part of her act that she really had this thing for men who were bald or had very little hair. She said, and I quote, when I see a guy without much on top, Yahtzee. Then she singled me out. She looked me in the eye and said, Yahtzee. I have to tell you, not every day, but on many days, I look in the mirror at the hair I don't have and I say to myself, Yahtzee. It's one of my flavors. Eric Butterworth wrote, "We do not take people as they are, but rather as fits or misfits of our own standards and expectations." Nowhere is this truer than when it comes to judging ourselves. The only difference is that the standards and expectations we hold for ourselves pretty much are standards and expectations that we have adopted from the world. Love your neighbor as yourself? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's exactly what we have been doing, loving others as we love ourselves. And maybe we just don't love ourselves enough. How can we embrace? How can we honor those that look different? How can we respect those that think differently? How can we be radically inclusive of others if we cannot do any of these things with ourselves? When we are scared, when we are sad, whether what frightens us or makes us sad is external or internal, our natural tendency is to try to separate ourselves from it, to create distance from whatever it is in ourselves. We turn off our feelings toward it. And sometimes creating that distance might even mean becoming resentful and hateful toward whatever it might be, again, external or internal. The personas that we put forth aren't just to mask who we are to the outside world. Much of our pretending is energy we extend trying to hide ourselves from ourselves. Radical inclusivity means honoring and loving our authentic experiences, regardless of what they are. It means honoring and loving our mistakes. It means honoring and loving our shortcomings, our so-called imperfections and our failures, our every flavor. In so doing so, you will celebrate the unique diversity that is you and the unique diversity of others. We can be so hard on ourselves. I mean, we're all really good at kicking ourselves around the block. And you know what? It's okay not to be okay. And I borrowed that line. That's what Michael Phelps' take on Simone Biles was when she had the courage to pause and take a break from the Olympics rather than to allow it to swallow her up, to consume her, to destroy her. Sadly, we look at parts of ourselves with embarrassment and shame and maybe even with disgust. We can look at ourselves in the mirror and see flavors like gobs of guilt, simply sinful, shards of shame, and rocky regret. But why? Because the world is telling us what flavor we are? Could there be a dumber reason? What difference does it make? And let me offer you something even better. You can take your worst experiences and transform them into opportunities. Because there is nothing quite as rewarding as overcoming something challenging, something difficult. Again, it's all good. Listen to that again. It's all good. That expression doesn't say it's all good except for. It's all good. Because if nothing else, it's an opportunity. And it's all good because it's all God. If you have a flavor within you that you are not crazy about, it's good because by your power of thought, you can transform it into whatever flavor you want. The formula to do this isn't all that complicated. Yeah, I'm not trying to deceive anybody. It could be difficult. It could be taxing. It could be work. But it's not complicated. It goes like this. Accept it. Bless it. Give thanks for it. Understand it's a call and an opportunity. And then get going. There is but one power, one source active in the universe and in our lives. And it's all good. And it's all shared with each and every one of us. If you are looking for some new flavors to try, I have a few suggestions. Why don't you go with things like Heavenly Dream, Jungle Joy, Passionate Peace, Caramel Karma, and Hunky Hope. Oh, and don't forget my favorite. Double Love Lumps. And make it a double scoop, please. Let's take our 31 flavors to prayer and meditation.